Today's podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Place to Be Nation, class is in session. That's right, we're back from winter break, which is like every other break we take. It's about a month. I'm JT, here with my bud, Jeff. Jeff, how are you?
Good. Happy 2018.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, I've seen you in 2018, but we're wishing everyone else a happy 2018, even though I've talked to them multiple times. You haven't. So it makes sense that you would have said that.
Well, to everyone from both of us at the same time,
happy 2018. We didn't even practice that. That was really good.
Yeah, that was magic.
So it's also fitting that we're recording tonight, episode number 11 of Jeff Learns Wrestling, because we were actually supposed to be together tonight anyway. And you might have remembered this from our last show. We were supposed to be at the 205 Live house show in Kingston, Rhode Island, University of Rhode Island campus. But about 3 weeks ago, we got a notification that the show was canceled, which is kind of a rarity. I'm not going to lie.
That's the Jeff magic.
Yeah, you put the McGinn on it. Yeah, the stink. It was. They claim it was due to like logistical reasons, but I'm guessing it was probably soft ticket sales. They are still having the show tomorrow night in Lowell, Mass. But tonight's the one that got banged. So I don't know what's going on. We get our money back, so that was okay. But yeah, so we were supposed to be together tonight anyway. We decided let's hang out regardless, and we'll do this show.
Yeah, so this is kind of like a special episode.
Right.
It wouldn't have happened.
Correct.
Normally.
Right, because we would have been there. We probably would have been doing an episode about your experience at the show.
Yeah.
But now we're not. So we're going to talk about the Royal Rumble from 1988 instead. Are you excited?
Very excited. It's my first Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
It's also going to be my first live show, which probably would have been more fun, but...
True.
It'll happen.
It may have been the wrestling god saying, like, this isn't your time. Maybe we're just going to find something a little bit bigger for you for your first show. Or a little smaller, perhaps.
Where was that on the medium of big or small?
In, like, WWE world, it's, like, at the bottom.
Oh, okay.
But all of wrestling, it's probably in the middle. Because, like, there's, local tiny indie shows we could go to.
But it's still WWE, so it's kind of cool. Yeah.
So some names there. So it would have been fun. I think it would have been a good show, but it's okay. We're here. So yeah, this was your first Royal Rumble. We're opening up 1988. It's fitting because the 2018 Royal Rumble, I guess 30 years later, is next weekend in Philadelphia. So
all right, that answers my first question.
Yes.
Will this happen every year from 1988 on?
Yes. This is the 31st technically, but it's the 30th year. So
all right, and this is the first Royal Rumble.
First one ever.
Were people like, do you remember, well, you were eight, you probably don't remember, but was this like a huge revealing thing, or had they tried this in wrestling and other type of...
So I think the WWF had actually tried it on like little shows here and there, like a concept of this.
But they just didn't come up with a cool name?
Right.
The name kind of really gave it the weight.
Yeah, it's a good name. The teeth. And this is the first like televised one. So there's a fun story behind this. So if you remember with Survivor Series, it was a whole kerfluffle with the NWA and Jim Crockett, how they countered Starrcade with their own pay-per-view.
I think it's kerfuffle.
No, kerfluffle, isn't it?
Kerfluffle would be if there's like marshmallow involved.
Well, that's what I'm thinking about.
That's better, actually. I like that.
You like it's
it
happier.
Is now kerfluffle.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Well, kerfuffle. If you recall, WWF put Survivor Series up against Starrcade, and they pissed off all the cable companies because they made them choose between the two.
All right.
And they told him to cut the shit. So, thinking they were in the clear, Jim Crockett in the NWA promotions ran a Bunkhouse Stampede pay-per-view in January. They said, all right, well, we'll throw another one out there, our first one. And to be a double dick, Vince didn't run a pay-per-view against them because he said he wouldn't. He ran a free show on USA Network called the Royal Rumble.
Wow.
Against the pay-per-view. So it definitely hurt. And the thing was, too, that Crockett was running the Bunkhouse Stampede in New York, which is Vince's territory. So
what is the Bunkhouse? Is
that Bunkhouse like Stampede is like a battle royal, basically, where they can dress however they want.
Oh.
So it's like they can wear all kinds of crazy gear and like street fight stuff.
It's funny. If you put the word house after any word, it sounds cool.
Yeah.
Like I could start my own company, Jeff House Productions.
That is kind of cool.
Yeah. I don't know what it is about that word. It's like there's a new branded chess called Bug House.
Yeah.
Doesn't make any sense, but everyone plays it.
Right. Like Roadhouse might have been the originator.
Yeah, Roadhouse.
Yeah.
It sounds badass.
So, it really hurt Bunkhouse Stampede. The card kind of sucked. There was all a mess with the time and all this other shit. So, Vince throws out this free show in USA, brand new concept, as well as the promise of Hulk Hogan and Andre the Giant going face-to-face in this contract signing. for another free match that would be airing a month later. So we'll be getting to that. Were you excited about that?
Oh, my God. I can't wait to see many, many more contract signings.
Yeah? Did you enjoy the contract signing?
No.
Okay.
But
you hyped about the match?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's not. It's like their own thing. It's not going to be at WrestleMania?
No. It's going to be at the main event, which is like a Saturday night's main event, but it's in primetime. It's the first one they're going to do in primetime on a Friday night in February. So that'll be our next episode. We're going to watch that.
Awesome.
All right, so this was on January 24th from Hamilton, Ontario. And do you have any thoughts before we get to the first match? Any kind of prequel thoughts to the show, where your hype level was at?
Well, I was pretty hyped because I remember hearing about Royal Rumbles as a kid. So I kind of knew the idea, a bunch of guys go in the ring, only one left standing. And yeah, I was pretty excited about it. I kind of thought that all the top guys would be in there, like Savage and Hogan and stuff. So that was a little disappointing, but... then I started watching it, and there was, like, these weird matches for no reason that began. Well, I guess the... Right.
It's like an undercard.
Yeah. That makes sense. I mean, you can't have it just be, like, 2 hours of the
Royal
same
Rumble.
Thing.
Yeah.
Although it was very long.
It was.
It was longer than I thought it would be.
And
I
this
mean,
is
two minutes is a long time.
And this is a shorter one, because there's only 20 guys. Starting next year, when it goes to pay-per-view, it's 30 men.
30?
Yeah, so it lasts an hour.
My goodness.
But there's also much bigger names and whatnot because it becomes an actual pay-per-view event and they load it up. So this is the only one you're going to see where it's like really this week. You know, because they weren't really pushing it as like a, you know, it's a free TV show. They weren't going to give away too much. So
yeah, it was like a fun thing, but it wasn't like one of their top two or three of the year things yet.
Yeah, it was almost just like a trial show. So, all right. So our opener is Ricky Steamboat versus Rick Rude. We've seen both these guys before, right? So Rick Rude at Survivor Series?
Yes.
All right, so give me your thoughts on this matchup here.
Okay, so is there any beef between these two guys, or is it just, let's put the guys with the two best bodies out there, show the world how sexy wrestlers are?
Yeah, I don't think there was much of a feud heading into this one. I know Rude had been feuding with Paul Orndorff when Orndorff got kicked out of the Heenan family for Rude, and then Orndorff left at the end of 87, so we're not going to see him anymore. You sad about that?
I'm a little sad, yeah. I'm starting to like him a little.
He's kind of one of your early guys that we talked about.
Yeah, he's one of the originals, one of the Jeff Lerner's wrestling originals.
We're going to see a lot of turnover in 1988. It's a big transition year, so. So he's gone. So Rude, I think, was just kind of put into this match as a showcase. He was still fairly new. He had just debuted over the summer of 87, so this is kind of a good spot to put him in against a great worker like Ricky Steamboat.
Yeah, a couple thoughts about this match. Not too many, because I got to be honest, I didn't watch the whole thing.
Okay.
Because I fast-forwarded through a lot of it, because there is a fan in the first row
who
has a blowhorn thing. Like a...
Like an air horn?
Mouth of the South
thing. Oh, so he's talking?
Do you remember this person?
Yeah, I do.
It might be a female.
Okay.
And she or he might be special. But either way, like, she wouldn't shut up. And she had, like, one of those clapper hat things on. You know, those stupid idiot. Like
Canadians. Canadians.
And I'm like, Jesse even says, looks like a fan got a hold of one of those horn things. He's trying to be, like, the mouth of the South. And I'm like, all right, the security's going to come any second now. Any second. they're going to take it from her. They didn't.
No.
She had that stupid horn the entire match. Like, Rude was actually talking to her at some point. And nobody around her was stopping her or yelling at her. Like, I couldn't believe it. It was so annoying.
Canadians are too nice.
It ruined the whole thing for me.
Yeah.
The whole match. I kept I'm like, nope, she still has it. She still has it. She still has it. Nice. So really the only impression I have of the match is that they were grappling a lot.
Yeah.
They were like trying to show off who was stronger. There was one point where Rude offered his hands to the dragon.
Yeah.
And then the dragon accepts.
Yep.
Like they start this clench move.
Yeah.
That's weird.
It's a test of strength.
Like, is this the Olympics?
Yeah, so you'll probably you're going to see more of that going forward. So you hook hands, and it's a test. It's almost like an arm wrestling contest. You see who can get the other guy to buckle first. You know, so they'll push one guy down, and then he'll fire up. And then usually what ends up happening is the face forces the heel down, puts their hands on the mat, and steps on the hands.
Well, it looked more like flirting, but
okay.
I don't remember who won that. But
yeah, it could have been flirting.
It was.
I mean, they're both good-looking guys.
Almost romantic, but then the ending, I think Rude did the old push the ref into him.
Yeah, they get the DQ.
Yeah, so it was kind of like a surprise DQ.
Well, and then he thinks he. Well, they do the thing where like the ref got knocked out. He's got the submission on. The ref taps him, and he thinks he won, but he really did the old good for the goose,
music,
good for the gander,
which is a good twist, as if the guy playing the music doesn't know what's happening.
Did you like that finish?
Yeah, it was nice.
Yeah.
And then Jesse says something to the effect of, it looks like that was a rude awakening for Steamboat. And isn't Rick Rude's move the Rude Awakening?
Yeah.
So is that like the origin of the name?
I don't know if they were calling it that already. It might have been already been calling that. He might have just been doing a play on
words. Is that what the Rude Awakening was? The holding over the head thing?
No. So there's two. Actually, you know what? He might not have been doing the Rude Awakening yet. So maybe not. So there was actually ends up being two Rude Awakenings. One is the neck breaker. So it's like he holds a head, turns around, and drops down with their neck.
Like the Austin thing?
That's no, it's like the reverse. Oh, okay. So like if I were to grab you from behind and hold you like this.
Gotcha.
But then the Rude Awakening was also what he'll end up doing is he kisses a woman before the match from the crowd. And he calls that the Rude Awakening as well.
How is that the Rude Awakening?
Well, it's rude and he's awakening the lust inside this woman.
Well, not for the woman. I'm sure she's 100% on board with that.
Yeah, well, yeah, he'll bring her in. You know, I'll say who wants to come out here. And
that was a joke because of the hashtag Me Too stuff. For all you people out there who didn't get that.
Okay.
You cannot just go kissing women.
Correct.
Not now, not in 1988. Never.
Never.
Did you hear Aziz Ansari is in trouble now?
Yeah.
I can't believe that one.
You don't believe it?
I'll have to read the testimony.
Yeah.
He's such a little flower of a man.
He is, but maybe that's what made him have like this Napoleon complex, because he's such a little shrimp.
Yeah, but if he had a Napoleon complex, he wouldn't have made a show about him being inept with women. You see what I'm saying?
Well, maybe he's trying to cover up all the bullshit he's doing behind the scenes.
Could be. Hashtag Rick Rude is a douche.
What do you think of the Tom Selleck comparisons with Rude?
I wasn't aware of them.
Do you think he looks like Tom Selleck?
No, he looks absolutely nothing like Tom Selleck. They're both tall men with mustaches.
I think it's just a mustache.
And that's it.
I think it's just a mustache.
I mean, if you shave them both, they would look nothing at all alike.
No, I think just the mustache looks very Selleck-ish.
I'm not talking off sides here because I am a Tom Selleck expert. My dad watched every single episode of Magnum P.I. like 50 times.
Did you enjoy the show?
Magnum P.I.?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah.
I had the great theme music.
It's a great song. It's a great song.
It's one of the best.
Has a rapper ever lifted that song? I feel like they've lifted a lot of songs. Have they lifted? I feel like there's a Magnum P.I. one sampled song.
I'm not aware of a rap sample of the song, but right. I am aware of a Conan O'Brien sketch from the 90s where he introduced a character who loved the theme of Magnum P.I. so much that he married it.
Okay. Okay. No, I didn't know that. You know what I'm thinking of is when I used to listen to Sports Talk Radio, which I've retired from over the last 2 years, Touchin' or Rich would do their movie review, and Rich would rap a review. He'd sing a review of the movie over the Magnum P.I. theme.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I can't believe I missed that.
Yeah. I don't know if he's done it recently. This is like even before I stopped listening. He would do a movie review and sing along. We're going to see if there's a sample song. Well, you'll hear it at the end of the episode either way. We'll either play the real theme or the sample theme.
Will you lift your ban on talk radio if I can weasel my way into the 98 Mile rap battle?
Yes.
I think they might have canceled it, but
I'll only listen to you, though.
Well, you got to listen to whoever.
Yeah, whoever's competing against you.
Okay.
But that's it.
Deal.
I'm done listening to the rest of Sports Talk Radio. Yeah, so Magnum P.I., I actually watched a lot of that when I was in my old job where I worked with Scott. We had A&E as a client, and they would air. Before A&E became like full reality fucking TV, like they aired a lot of like Murder, She Wrote.
It was kind of like USA.
Right. Murder, She Wrote, Poirot, and then Magnum P.I., they aired a ton of. So, like, 1 a.m. when I'm sitting there ready to blow my brains out, I'd watch an episode of Magnum P.I.
It's like MASH. It's a very calming show.
Yeah, the
it's
song.
Like if everyone was like Hawkeye or Magnum, we'd all be okay.
The song gets you, would give me a little juice at 1 a.m, you know?
But it's like the opposite of the L.A. Law theme song.
Right.
Which is a song that played when it was my bedtime as a kid, so that just meant I had a half an hour left to be awake and I was watching the first half of L.A. Law. So I didn't even get to see how the show ended.
See, I kind of have the same feeling about MASH. And I never watched that show because the song and the
opening. It's very depressing.
It is. And I'm like, this is stupid. It's
Suicide
not even
is
be
Painless.
Funny.
That's the name of the song.
Yeah, it's. I feel like we talked about this.
Be sure to catch us if we say the same thing twice.
We do these like once a month. So
you guys
easy.
Said that already.
Yeah. But yeah, so Magnum got me through a lot of long nights. So did we had NBA TV as a client. So I'd watch a lot of like old classic games. I'd just go grab tapes off the shelf.
I wish they showed more of those.
Yeah.
They just re-air games now.
I know. It's lame. They used to air a ton of those hardwood classics.
Yeah.
I used to rewatch that Hornets Celtics 93 series like crazy.
Not familiar with that one.
That's when Alonzo Mourning hit the shot in game 5 and he like fell to the floor with the. That was a Reggie Lewis year.
Oh, so this was post Bird?
It was the first post Bird.
That might have been
year.
The season I didn't watch the Celtics at all because I was so sad and I just like became a Phoenix Suns fan.
They were awesome that year. Yeah, that was Barkley. The Suns year. I was rooting so hard for them.
93. NBA.
And it's funny because I was so anti-Jordan at the time. Like, I wanted him to lose so bad. And now I just got my Bulls jersey in the mail today, Chris Dunn.
That is so lucky for you that you have this connection with a guy playing for the Bulls, because the red Bulls jersey is so awesome.
Yeah.
And you just can't buy one because you're not a Bulls fan, or right. You're not a Michael Jordan guy. Like, Michael Jordan guys have, like, drawings of Michael Jordan when they were kids. Yeah,
like Jim. But
now you have one.
Yes.
I'm so jealous.
It's awesome. I'm so, like, at first I liked when he got drafted by Minnesota because they were young and it seemed like they had a lot of talent. They were on the come up. But this is, like, way better because they're actually letting him play. He's playing great. They kind of playing well, and the Bulls jerseys are so much cooler. Yeah. It's so much cooler saying you're a Bulls fan than a Timberwolves fan. And I got my – so now I got the – Chris Dunn red Bulls jersey, and I got a black Bull snapback, so I'm ready to rock.
Well, hey, yeah. No, I was gonna say you can be like a secondary team, but you're a Celtics fan, right? You're not really a big NBA guy in general.
Well, I am. I don't know. I've probably told the story on a million shows, but I grew up as a Hornets fan.
Oh, right.
And then they dismantled that team, and it's impossible to become a diehard fan of a team when you're like 20.
Yeah,
you just can't. You got to grow up with it. So I root for the Celtics. I don't care. I'm rooting for the Bulls the most right now because I want to see Dunn succeed. So I pretty much just go with PC guys at this point. Wherever they go, I root for.
Yeah, that's sad. It's like you were deprived of an NBA team.
Yeah, I don't know why I didn't like the Celtics. I don't know. I didn't hate them. I just liked the Hornets so much.
What it's going to take is a PC player getting drafted by the Celtics and becoming an all-star and win the championship. Then right. You'd be like, you'll have green stuff all over your house.
Well, I became a Celtics fan in the 2000s. You said Ryan Gomes.
Oh, yeah.
And then they traded him, and that was it. But I thought they were going to draft Marshawn Brooks, and they didn't. And I thought they were going to draft Chris Dunn, and they didn't. Yeah. So
I thought so, too. I was sad.
Yeah. But anyway, we're way off the reservation now. But Magnum P.I. Good show.
Magnum P.I. looks nothing like Rick Rude.
Check it out. All right. We go to Dino Bravo breaking the weightlifting record. Any thoughts on this segment?
All right. So one of our first shows.
Yeah.
I actually asked. Nobody talks about who can bench press the most or who's the strongest guy in the thing, and you would think that they would talk about that all the time. So I'm like, all right, finally. But there's no competition. It's just this guy trying to break a record, and it was like 75 minutes long.
Yeah.
And first of all, okay, why do they have to show him? I understand the process in weightlifting, but why do they have to show him try like six different weights? And he definitely doesn't do it, right?
No.
Was he supposed to try to actually do it, or was he never? Was it actually 715 pounds? That's the question.
I don't know.
Was
I
it
mean,
just a stunt? Was he never going to actually do it? Was I mean, that part of the act?
He's
or
a
did
strong,
they want him to do it?
He's a strong motherfucker, and he's juiced to the gills on steroids. So he might have really been trying. I mean, Jesse clearly puts the two pinkies of pressure on there that he claims.
Because if the one before was actually 650, I mean, that's not so much of a stretch to try for an extra 70 pounds or whatever. But it just didn't make any sense to me. I'm like, what am I watching here? Like, is something going to happen? Is the bar going to fall in his throat and Dino Bravo dies like the guy, like,
well,
rains in the
that.
Truck?
He really dies. But
Dino Bravo's dead?
Oh, yeah, for a long time. He got
CTE and...
No, it's much darker than that. Do you want to hear the story now or do you want to wait till he dies?
No, I have to know now.
So he was ended up being... It came out he was involved in the black...
Wait a minute. So you're saying this as if Bravo has a lot of plot points coming up.
No, he doesn't.
I shouldn't. Okay.
He's a pretty useless character.
Just tell me. Okay.
So he, in 1993, it came out when he died, you found out he was very involved in the black market in Canada, like smuggling cigarettes and working with the mob. And he got gunned down mob style in his house.
Wow. That's kind of cool, actually. That's not
and Aaron George will tell you, it's like a mile from where he lives now. Place of Mediation is Aaron George, that he got gunned down.
Oh, wow. So is it like a landmark, like...
Yeah, I don't know how he knows,
house?
But probably not the same.
Everything is like it was. Notice the unmarked cigarettes in the corner.
And there's still a Johnny V tape playing on the...
That's such a Canadian thing to smuggle.
Cigarettes? Yeah.
Like, jeez.
So anyway, he had ties to the mafia, and it ended poorly for him. Which I'm guessing he just annoyed them, because he's an annoying human. So he was with Greg Valentine and Johnny V with the New Dream Team.
Uh-huh.
And they're split up now. The Hammer's on his own. Dino Bravo's on his own. So I think they did this to, like, kind of reset what Dino Bravo was, the Canadian strongman.
They want him to just be like this big strong guy.
Right.
Like this is his new character.
Yeah, the strongman. And he's got stupid Frenchie Martin with him. Was Frenchie Martin out there for this?
Yes, Frenchie Martin. Frenchie Martin in Canada. How do they let that fly?
I hate Frenchie Martin.
If I was a Canadian, I'd be like, Frenchie? Like, get
the
heck out
of
my country.
Well, where were they?
Yeah, but it's not like Quebec, but...
True, they're in
Ontario.
They're
all French up there.
Yeah. I don't know, but they both suck. We'll find that out. Did you like Jesse at least during this? I thought
Jesse
he's
was
great.
Hilarious. Yeah. I'm like, if it wasn't for Jesse, this whole piece would just fall on its face. Actually, Mean Gene was good too, but
it was only two pinkies of pressure, McMahon.
Like, no matter what you think about him, let him at least try. He's like looking at the crowd, like, you people disgust me. It's so good.
This will become a running thing for a while. The setting the record, like they'll talk about it forever. Like it's his only hook.
You know, the record is still only 730 pounds.
Did you look it up?
Yeah.
Did you know Rava hold it?
No.
Okay.
His attempt wasn't even recognized.
Okay.
But at the time that he tried it, it was 705.
Right.
And then somebody lifted 715 like the year after.
Yeah.
And then someone did 730 in like 2006.
So you don't get this insight just anywhere.
You understand what this means? It's impossible for a human being to bench press 800 pounds. They've done 1,000 pounds with like that gear.
Right.
But that doesn't count. This is like a free attempt.
Free bar, yeah. That's crazy. I mean, someone's got to at some point.
It's like a 600-foot home run. It's not possible.
Yeah. We'll see. You get a gold star for that extra credit homework you did.
If WWE can get somebody to bench press 800 pounds, that's a show right there.
Yeah.
They could make up for this whole Dino Bravo fiasco.
You think it's still hampering
him? I'm like, after all that, he doesn't even get it?
No.
At least it gave McMahon an opportunity to make fun of Jesse.
Yeah.
Like, you lifted it. What the hell's the matter with you?
Did you like Vince on this one? Versus, are you too used to Gorilla now?
I like Vince. He's kind of doing the same thing where he can make it seem like everything Jesse says is wrong.
Right.
And everything he says is right, even when they're both, like, shady. Gorilla and Jesse were a bit more friendly.
Right.
Jesse will straight up say, I wish... He's like, someone's knee was being worked on. He's like, I wish that was you out there, McMahon. He's, like, making fun of his build and stuff. So it's more of a, I hate you, but I'm doing this anyway.
Right.
Which is also funny.
So I think the comparison would be, like, Vince and Jesse are, like, coworkers that have to work together.
Yes, exactly.
Gorilla and Jesse are, like, guys at a bar.
Right.
That are like Cliff and Norm that are just like they're arguing every night,
yeah,
but
I mean,
are friends at the end of the day.
Gorilla could crack a couple jokes to him, whereas McMahon, like the shtick doesn't work. There's like no joking.
Right.
It's like, well, you know, I disagree on that one. We're moving on to the next thing.
And I think part of it is that Gorilla was a wrestler, so it's like this inherent respect that Jesse has because like he was a legendary wrestler in the ring. Like Vince had never wrestled, so it's almost like the nerd and the jock, whereas Gorilla's like the jock and the jock.
Yeah. Like with the bench press thing, he's like, you don't even know what a legal bench press is. Right. I'm like, well, I mean, if you grab the bar and pull it up, anyone could, a one-armed man could say that's not, doesn't count, you know?
Right.
It's not really fair. It's kind of hard.
Oh, it's like all the athletes who say if you never played the game, you can't criticize.
Yeah. This is, but doesn't McMahon wrestle?
He does like 10 years after this, but.
Oh, he wasn't a wrestler before this? He looks like he's actually pretty in good shape.
Yeah, he's pretty jacked, but no, he did not wrestle before this. When he does, it's iconic. We'll get there in 2025. All right.
Stay tuned for Jeff Lerner's Wrestling. Yeah. 10 years from now.
We'll be getting to the
debut out. Of Vince McMahon.
It'll probably be dead by then. That's my guess. All right. So we have a women's tag team title match, 2 out of 3 falls, with your girls, the Jumping Bomb Angels. The
Jumping Bomb Angels.
Against the Glamour Girls. Do you still have a big fetish for the JBAs?
Yeah, they were great. During this match, Jesse actually turns to McMahon and says, do you know their names or can you tell them apart? And McMahon says, well, no, let's just call this one red and this one pink.
Awful, right?
And I'm like, what? How can, why? He obviously knows their names. Why are they doing this?
I don't think
this?
They can pronounce them quickly.
I was joking when I was like, right. I love them, but I can't tell them apart. Yeah. Like, I know which one is not which one.
Right.
But for them to say it, I just didn't understand. I'm like, why are they doing this? Are they just trying to make them completely sexualized? Like, here are two
No,
Japanese
they're just being
guys.
Overtly 80s racist. They're like, these Japanese people look the same, but I can't tell them apart.
He called them by their color of their shorts for the half of the match, and then all of a sudden he started calling them by their names.
Someone probably told him, you shouldn't be doing that on national TV.
Well, I rewound it, and I watched it again, because I'm like, does he find out their name? Does somebody tell him?
Someone must have told him, yeah.
But there's no moment of that.
Well, someone could have said it in his headset.
My point is, McMahon obviously knew their names. They're his
employees. So maybe he just thought it was a joke. Maybe this was like being an asshole.
But how do you... Then he just like forgot about the joke.
Yeah.
It's like watching a cartoon when like a character gets a black eye and then the next scene there's no black eye.
Right. Like every Family Guy.
Exactly.
So
that was kind of shocking. I felt really bad. And because I still don't know their names. I think one is Suki. Yes. Is it Misuki or Suki? And the other one is Haruki.
It's Suki Yamazaki and Norio Tateno.
Norio. Okay. Now I know. Suki is the small one, right?
I think you should get the tattooed on your forearm. Just their names.
Jumping Bomb Angels.
They got ranked, by the way, in the greatest WWE wrestler ever.
Oh, speaking of that, can I, like, I can't talk about it, right? Cause
no, it's not all live yet.
It's like
so, I know you know the results, but
there's so many.
I know.
When is number one going to be revealed? Like Christmas?
No, we're moving all right. That's a lot of work to put those things together.
You're still in the 200s.
We're going to be in the 100s. No, we get to the 100s. 174.
I thought you would come out with like a top 10 list.
We're working there.
Oh, man.
We're recognizing everyone who got a vote.
I can't wait, and I already know the list.
Well, you know the top five or so, right?
You showed me the whole list.
Oh, I did?
Yeah.
Cool. Well, this is just everyone who got a vote. And the Jumpin' Bomb Angels both got votes. They're in there.
That's awesome. Top 100?
No.
Did it say Red Angel and Pink Angel?
No, we used their proper names.
Oh, nice.
That's how we are.
Which one was ranked higher?
They were back-to-back. I'll look it up.
That's impossible.
I think one person voted for both of them and put them back-to-back. So.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. Not impossible, actually.
No, it's mathematically possible, yes. All right, what else about this one?
There wasn't much. It was a good match. The Glamour Girls, I didn't really notice this. Maybe it was a while since I had seen them last, but they're, like, hideously ugly.
They're just old.
They're just not good-looking women. It's not the age thing, either, because, like, women can age well. They're just, like, yeah. They look like waitresses from, like, Denny's. Which, no offense to anyone out there.
No, I mean, they definitely look like two chicks who've had hard runs.
Yes. And they're wearing this these jumpsuits that make it look like they have diapers.
Yeah.
And I'll get to this later in the show because Danny Davis has the same kind of getup.
Right, yeah.
And I'm wondering if it's like how the shorts are made.
I think so.
Or if they're wearing some kind of padding.
No, I think it's just the way the shorts are made.
It's awful.
So they definitely look like two women that have wrestled. For decades.
For decades.
During a time where women wrestling was not really...
Do you
really...
think they're like over 40?
At this point?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can look it up. Judy Martin's actually really well regarded. And I've seen some really good Judy Martin matches.
They're good. They're pretty good. They did some cool moves.
Let's see how old Judy Martin is.
But they were overshadowed by the finishing move of the third fall. The double drop kick.
So she's 62 now. So she was only 32 in that match.
Yeah, 55. Yeah. See, I told you, they're just not that
they
old.
They look a lot older than 32.
They're just not good looking.
Like, we used to joke and call them the Golden Girls.
Oh, my God, she's only 5'6". See, this is why Andy Kaufman had it right.
Leilani Kai was 27 in that match.
Wow. That's crazy.
28 or whatever. How the fuck is that? She would have just turned, like, January 23rd. Happy birthday, Leilani Kai. It's coming up.
Happy birthday. You gotta go get your ass kicked by some Asian chicks.
That's fucking insane because, yeah, we used to joke and call them the Golden Girls and stuff, and... They had only been wrestling
they
for
They were probably
years.
Younger. Look up Suki. Suki's probably
Let's
about...
look up Jumping Bomb Angels. Do you like this name, too? She also wrestles as Patty Stonegrinder.
Patty Stonegrinder. It's a good change.
All right. Let's see. Norio Tateno. Hello. She's 52. So she's only 22 at that point.
Oh, wow.
And I'm guessing Yamakaze is the same. Is Yamazaki the same. Yep. They were both... 22?
God bless them. Their Wikipedia pictures are also very good.
Yeah. Well, especially Tateno here. Hachimachi.
Polka dots.
Have you watched Glow on Netflix?
No.
You should watch Glow.
What is it?
It's about the 80s women's wrestling promotion, Glamorous Ladies of Wrestling. There's like this millionaire rich kid, Money Mark, that pumped a bunch of money into building his own women's promotion, and it's all got like outrageous stereotypical characters. So they made this Netflix series about it, which is actually really highly regarded, like
a documentary
critically.
Or
no, it's a like a series,
scripted series.
Alison Brie is in it, and Marc Maron.
Glow. I'll put it on the list once Grey's Anatomy is over.
You should watch it. It's awful. you should.
We should do a Grey's Anatomy episode.
Definitely not. You can find someone else.
Don't blame me. It's my fiance.
Well, you should make her watch Glow. I think she'll like it. It's really good. It's a lot about like women that are being empowered too. It's like there's like good messages in there.
All right, we'll give it a shot.
Very critically acclaimed. They got a season two.
You know what else has good messages? Grey's Anatomy.
No, it's got awful messages.
Hater.
But
I'm gonna get your wife hooked on it.
She is. She was into it for a long time, and she stopped.
Oh.
She used to watch it like when it started.
When it was good.
Yeah, I don't know. Was it ever good?
I used to watch soap operas in high school. You
That's
know
true.
This about
yeah,
me.
I know.
It's like a soap opera with higher production value. And
yeah.
Like hotter people.
No, I think we even got some of the DVDs in there. She was into it early on, and then she fell off, like most people.
All right. Glow. Gotta put that on my list.
Yeah, put it on your list. just like my kiss. All right, what else you got in this one?
That was it. Cool last move, double drop kick. They actually both hit her like at different times.
Yeah.
So you can see in slow motion, she goes bang bang.
Were you excited that they won the titles?
Yeah. It was they looked really happy too.
Yeah. Are you sad if I tell you we're not going to see them anymore?
Oh, this is the end?
Yeah.
Well, at least they went out on top.
Yeah.
Maybe they went into like Cirque du Soleil and made even more money or something.
No, I think they wrestled in Japan and did really well.
Oh, good.
Yeah. That is done here. We're not, I don't think we see the Golden Girls anymore either. We're done with both of them.
Oh, good.
I watched,
but the women thing continues.
Yeah. We have single women for a bit, and then it ends in 1989 and doesn't come back till 94.
Oh, wow.
They go dormant. I watched the Golden Girls last night for the first time in a while.
It's good, isn't it?
Yeah. Holds up. I have a coworker that's
Dorothy Zbornak was one of my top five all-time TV characters.
It was the one where they were supposed to put on some play, and Rose ended up taking the role because the kids were all sick or something.
Oh, yeah, and Blanche got mad?
Yeah, I kind of was, I fell asleep like halfway through.
Yeah, Blanche and Rose, man, they had some tense episodes. A lot of issues.
I have a coworker who's like super hard into the Golden Girls. She's very obsessive about it.
Well, she's fun at parties then. I could talk about that show forever.
Yeah, it's a good one.
What are we talking about? Wrestling?
Not tonight. All right, so we go through a video package now, recapping everything to do with Andre the Giant, Hulk Hogan, and now Ted DiBiase, who has vowed to purchase the WWF heavyweight title from Hogan. And then we get the contract signing, so take me through all this.
Ah, talk about a time filler. Like, yeah. What is the point of this?
Well, they're hyping the big free show coming
up. What does Ted DiBiase have anything to do with anything? He's going to buy the title? That's so stupid. Why? Andre the Giant is Andre the Giant.
Yep.
Oh, you're going to pay me to get the title. That doesn't make any sense. Like, hey, Ted DiBiase, you're a wuss. You suck.
So he's just trying to show that he's rich and he can do what he wants.
They're all rich. How much money does he have?
He's a million-dollar man.
Does he have $1 billion?
Multi-millions.
Is he a billion-dollar man?
I don't know. Well, I think he'd call him that.
What's up with Virgil? Does that man have no self-respect? I know actors have to, like...
Yeah.
They have to play their role, you know, suck up their pride. But how can he do this over and over again? Put the stupid money down.
You gotta...
By the way, how dumb do those old $100 bills look now?
Yeah.
Like, when the new money came out, everyone's like, this looks stupid. Now those old bills, they look like stupid.
They're so tiny. I wish everyone could see the face and hand motion you were making.
What is he doing? Like, why is he there?
So Virgil on
Does
air.
Does he wrestle?
Yeah, he wrestles. Virgil on air becomes quite the little story, so we'll save that.
Okay.
Virgil in real
I'll
life.
I'll trust you on that one.
Virgil in real life is a shit show nowadays. He's like a fucking hot mess.
Nowadays? Like, he's still going strong?
No, he doesn't wrestle anymore, but he goes to, like, the conventions and stuff, and he's like...
Oh.
He just, like, he's one of those guys where if you're there and you start talking to him, he won't leave you alone and, like, beg you to, like, buy a thing, and it's kind of become a shtick. He's out of his mind.
How ironic. He needs money now.
Yeah.
I'm going to go to one of those confessions and just go, like, and just wave the bills in front of his face.
He'll probably do anything for them. He'll probably say. He's big into Olive Garden.
Olive Garden?
Yeah. He loves the unlimited breadsticks.
That is amazing. It's like the worst restaurant ever.
Well, you listen. Did you listen to the Back to the Christmas play yet?
No. But that's good news. Haven't you ever like missed an episode of a show and then forgot about it?
You gotta go listen to it.
I have a Christmas is not over now. Right. I can still listen to the Plays to Be Nation Christmas play.
So Nate does Virgil. Virgil's a character in the play.
Does he sound like Virgil?
Yeah.
Because I don't know what Virgil sounds like.
Yeah, he does a good Virgil.
I've never heard Virgil.
All right, get back to the contract signing.
All right. Like I said, it was long. I hate Ted DiBiase. Let's see. What else didn't I like about this? I think that was the only two things I wrote.
That was it? You don't like DiBiase and they signed the contract?
All right, so you got Andre and Hulk Hogan in the middle of the ring. And Andre stares at him for like 4 minutes.
Yeah. That's awesome. He's a badass. He's just like, fuck you.
He's not a badass. He's wasting my time. I'm officially turned on Andre.
Come on.
No, I'm turned.
You turned because of four minutes of silence?
I'm turning. This is a.
He was your beloved. You wanted him to be the number one greatest wrestler of all time.
Yeah, because he was the cool guy. He was Michael Jordan. He can say, you know what? This is a stupid idea. I'm not doing it. We can hype the match in literally a million other ways that are better.
Yeah. You didn't like when he threw the table on Hogan?
No. No. Because, actually, I won't blame him for that.
Okay.
He grabbed his head. He made a cool move. Hogan blew that one. Because he hits his head and then braces himself and puts his feet like under the table. All you had to do, how hard is it to throw a table on somebody? All Hogan had to do was go limp, and then Andre throws a table on him. Boom. That's it.
Are you really down on this segment?
It doesn't make any sense. He's Hulk Hogan. He's the biggest star in the world, and he's like looking at Ted DiBiase and Andre like, I am being wronged. I'm not going to sign it. I'm not going to. Why do they even have to sign a contract?
To have the match.
A contract for a match? That's not a thing.
Yeah, it is.
That's not how things work.
Yeah, they get
a
sign.
You think Floyd Mayweather goes into a room and signs something?
Yeah,
with
signs a
pen? A
contract. Yeah. Ah, what do you think he's doing?
I don't buy it.
What do you think they were doing in 1988? They weren't e-signing shit.
The whole point of... All right, athletes make millions of dollars, okay?
Correct, yeah.
They make a ton of money. And I say, I don't care about that. Because I like what they do. I like watching them play their sports. However they make the millions of dollars, I really don't care. I don't want to see a guy. Who's this guy?
What guy?
The guy with the contract.
Oh, he's an official.
I'm the president of wrestling.
Oh, Jack Tunney, yeah.
I'm Jack Tunney, and you have to sign this, and you have to sign this. And we're going to put a table in the middle of the ring and let everyone watch as Andre stares vacantly for 4 minutes.
It's like a UFC where they do the weigh-in or boxing, right? They do the public weigh-in. It's just meant to hype the thing. They're having them there. They're signing in front of everyone.
The weigh-in is cool. There's some tension there because they might not make their weight.
They're naked.
They're taking most of their clothing off. Yeah. It's kind of strange. I don't know. It just... Maybe...
I think it's more awkward because they stand up to each other and do the fist to their faces and pose for the cameras.
Yeah. They're
like naked on the stage.
But still, I mean, there's the thought that maybe one of them could punch the other guy. Like, if you're watching
Ali... You got that here. You didn't get that thought here. He threw the table on him.
Yeah, but why is Hogan just sitting there waiting for it to happen?
Because he's all fucked in the head from Andre turning on him still. He's still, you know, he's still kind of a skitter-scattered mess.
You are just buying all the Kool-Aid, aren't you? Maybe the only... Maybe it's not the premise itself. I think maybe I just got so upset because A, I hate Ted DiBiase and his stupid talking about his stupid money, and I hate Virgil and his stupid vest, and Andre really, I think it's mostly Andre.
I can't believe you turned on Andre.
I'm turning. We'll see how this match goes. All right. The match is cool, then maybe I'll go back.
So DiBiase, yeah, he tried to buy the belt. Hogan refused, and then he said, all right, if you're not going to sell it to me, then I'm going to pay the best wrestler in the world to take it from you. You don't like that story?
No. I don't like that story. Why don't you just fight Hulk Hogan or fight Andre the Giant?
Because he's a rich guy. He doesn't have to fight. He can just sue you.
Well, if he doesn't want to fight, then why does he want to be world wrestling champion?
So then he can be champion, get more money.
We're talking in circles here.
As usual. All right, let's get to the Royal Rumble match, the inaugural Royal Rumble.
Tully Blanchard versus Ted DiBiase. That'd be a good match. They ever fight?
No, but it would be good because they're both really great
wrestlers. They just run away from each other the whole time?
Poor Tully. All right. The Royal Rumble match. Do you want to kind of go through whatever you got here?
No, it's just a hodgepodge. We can just about like start to finish, I guess.
All right. Well, we start with Tito Santana and Bret Hart.
Yeah. So this random lottery thing.
Yeah.
It's obviously not random, right?
Right.
Why can't it be random? Why can't they show the guys pick the names? That's really exciting. We're having the same issue right now with the All-Star game.
Yeah.
Steph Curry and LeBron James are going to pick the teams. No one gets to see it. Why? That's awesome.
There will be years where they go backstage and they show guys picking the numbers out of the tumbler.
Legitimately?
No, it's fake, like the rest of wrestling.
Oh, so they look at a white piece of paper
Number 7. Yeah.
All right, so yeah.
I mean, it has to be predetermined because they have to lay out the match a certain way. They can't just really pick random numbers and enter that way.
They should have the drawing like a month in advance.
The whole concept of wrestling is to structure it to be entertaining. Making it random.
Are you telling me that you threw 20 of these guys randomly? You couldn't find an entertaining story arc?
But there's no reason. I mean, why can't you just believe it's random? That's what they want you to do.
Because I don't like being like...
But if you were 8 years old in 1988,
there's only two guys left. Who's the last one? Oh, it's Hulk Hogan. I don't want to be lied to. What if Hulk Hogan was third? Imagine that.
It could be.
What if it was like Andre the Giant, Ted DiBiase, and then Hulk Hogan's third?
It could be.
That would be cool.
What makes you think it won't be that?
Well, maybe it will be.
You think they're just going to always save the big names for the end?
Well, they should have put two heels in there or something. As soon as it was Bret Hart and Tito Santana, I'm like, all right.
Random this is just a trial. Everything you're asking for is coming, so just chill. All right? All right.
You got to understand, I've got years and years of, you know, rationality that I'm throwing into this.
I know. Sorry, I'm getting upset. I'm standing up right now.
He literally stood up.
Ready to push you off the chair.
Getting heated up in here.
Yeah, it is. All right. Tito Santana and Bret Hart open things up. I'm just going to read through who's coming in, and you stop me if you want to talk about any of the guys that are in there.
That's a good plan.
All right, then Butch Reed comes in, number three, The Natural. Any thoughts on The Natural still?
No. I'm like, oh, he's obviously going to be out like right away.
Yeah. Was he?
I think he... I didn't really keep track of the order.
Yeah. I mean, I have who eliminates the guys. I don't know the order they eliminate. All right, Jim the Anvil Neidhart comes in next, Bret Hart's top tag partner.
Yeah, those guys are in there forever. Both of them. All right, so you had Anvil, Bret Hart, Tito Santana, and Butch Reed, and somehow Tito does not get eliminated.
Right.
Why don't all three of them just grab
him? It's every man for himself.
No, but they know that they want him out.
Yeah, but why?
You eventually want to win, don't you? Have I talked about this yet?
No.
My biggest problem with this show?
No.
There was no pre-match chatter, just like the weightlifting thing.
Right.
Nobody's like, I'm going to win the Royal Rumble. I guarantee it.
Yeah.
I want to know who's the most confident guy. Who cares the most about it?
I think you really have to accept that it's just like a test run and there wasn't much hype behind it. It's just like a battle royal on a regular show.
Well, like I said, there was a lot of anticipation.
I know.
And you told me that it's still going, so these are all things I look forward to.
Okay.
In year two and such.
I know, but see, your anticipation's coming from a misdirected place because you're having that anticipation from knowing it continues and that it was a big thing. If
no,
you put yourself in
you
your shoes...
You told me it continues. I didn't know it continues.
No, but you told me you had heard about Royal Rumbles as a kid and they were great. So what I'm telling you is if you were in 1988, like, this probably would have been cool to you because it's different and unique and you didn't need the other shit. But
it's
now
impossible,
you,
but yeah. Maybe there was only three total. Maybe I only knew 88, 90.
Okay. All right.
Whatever. So you got...
I'm moving my chair.
So you got Tito, Bret Hart,
yeah.
Anvil, and Butch Reed.
Did it bother you that there's no prize, or are you happy with just winning a match?
Yeah, I thought there's like an intercontinental belt. Why can't there be like a Royal Rumble trophy?
Right. Okay.
Or the Royal Rumbler.
All right. Pocket that for now.
Oh.
Pocket that.
Foreshadowing.
All right. Number five, Jake the Snake Roberts. You sent me a message about him last night that I woke up to this morning. And it took me a minute because I didn't know if you were talking about this or the town of Asbury at first.
It was a direct quote from the show because three guys were beating up Roberts and Vince goes, why are they picking on Jake? And Jesse goes, because he's a snake. It was just a funny sing-songy line.
Right. Okay. I woke up and I'm like, wait, what did Jake do in the thing? Okay, wait, hang on. What are we talking about? All right. Harley Race is six. He's still out on the King?
Yeah. Remember, the only thing I've said he's good at is like bobbing up and down.
Yeah.
And it actually, they must have recognized that or got some fan blowback because he literally is bobbing up and down the entire time.
Yeah.
And they're like, look at him bob up and down. Harley Race is bobbing up and down on the ropes. I was like, yeah, that's what he does.
Did that cost him? Is that how he got eliminated?
Yes.
He was bobbing around.
Flipped up vertically. It's amazing. Yeah. I don't know how he does it. But
especially a man his girth.
Yeah, it's like Jack Black. He's like a nimble fat guy.
David Wells. That's my go-to nimble fat guy.
My male chihuahua.
He's a nimble fat guy?
Pizza guy came to our house and said, oh, is he going to eat all the pizza? Poor thing. I got so pissed. Poor thing.
Yeah.
He runs fast.
Right.
I don't overfeed him. He's a big bone dog.
Yeah. They don't like understand.
Asshole. Don't come into my house and call my dog fat.
It's like Jay from Flanagan Court, another nimble fat guy.
Oh yeah. Guy's a beast. Runs fast.
Jim Brunzel of the Killer Bees.
I don't really remember much of him.
Sums him up. Sam Houston, number eight.
I was like, oh, the bee guy.
Yeah.
Sam Houston, I thought he was the Red Rooster.
No.
He's not. Okay. He kind of dresses like him.
A little bit.
He's red.
He's actually Jake the Snake's brother.
Is he a good guy or a bad guy?
He's a good guy. He's way too thin. He's Jake the Snake's brother in real life.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So they never fight each other?
No, I guess Sam Houston's just kind of a bum, and Jake is much better than him, or higher up the ladder than him. Danny Davis, number nine.
Danny Davis. He is the worst. He was just... He didn't do anything. He just got beaten up the whole time.
You know, that's his thing. Remember, he's a referee, become wrestler.
How much longer am I going to have to put up with this guy?
It's not much more. I mean, it's really
he's
not
He's got a long-sleeve shirt. Who wears a long-sleeve shirt? And he's got, like, the Glamour Girls pants.
Yeah.
And he walks, like, this, like, hitchy walk, like he's strutting. And his only move is a back elbow.
Yeah. I think he wrestles for a while longer, but I think we mainly only see him like once more, probably.
Yeah, I made a top three of my least favorite characters, or wrestlers, I should say.
Million Dollar Man?
I gotta wait to the end, because we're not there yet.
Oh, okay. All right. I look forward to it. I kind of want a top three as well when we get to the end. Boris Zhukov is next.
Boris Zhukov.
One of the half of the Bolsheviks.
Is that Nikolai's partner?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He's got a giant head.
Yeah, see, this is when I was watching it and just kind of like making my own observations. I wasn't really watching any specifics because there was just so many things going on.
Yeah.
And at this point, like, Bret Hart was getting tired. So there'd be guys just walking across the ring like, all right, let me at somebody. Right. Who wants to get wrestled? You know? just kind of like strutting from one corner of the ring to the other. And yeah, I was just like, all right. I was trying to like picture, I was trying to piece it together, how it's going to happen, who's going to win. But I just started like missing. They just started going, oh, he's out, he's out. Randomly, there'd be a guy by the ropes, and he just gets grabbed, tossed over. Oh, he's out.
Yeah.
And then they'd get a guy, throw him over the ropes, and he's grappling on the ropes, and it's impossible to throw him out. So I'm like, all right, is it easy to throw a guy out or not?
Well, it depends if they get the leverage and they're hooking into the ropes or not.
But there are so many. At one point, there was four guys grappling the ropes, and it just looked like it looked like a bunch of kids like playing in a playpen.
Yeah.
There was just too many guys over the ropes.
The eliminations and stuff get better, too, as they learn how to structure the match, like that stuff. Like, the stories, I'll say this, in the Royal Rumble, as we move forward, the stories in the Rumble get a lot better. Like, instead of just guys wrestling, they start telling mini stories, like, within the match.
So there's, like, cliques and teams and betrayals
like,
and stuff.
Right, yeah, yeah, and stuff that starts feuds and shit. So, like, it becomes more and more, like, story-driven versus, like, what you saw here. All right, Don Morocco, The Rock, number 11. Are you digging face Don Morocco versus heel Don Morocco? Do you not notice any difference?
He's kind of the same guy, although he's growing on me. I mean, he's huge.
I say he's growing physically as well.
Yeah, does he like blow up from steroids?
He's
Do you think that he can bench press 800 pounds?
I would think so. I mean, he's unless his heart would give out, but I mean, he's fucking like monstrous, just monstrous, scary monstrous.
Yeah, doesn't he end up fighting Dino Bravo?
Yeah, you're looking forward to that.
I am. It's like, what are they going to do?
See whose heart blows up first.
Do they have, like, cool special moves, or are they just going to, like, suplex each other forever?
I'll just let you find out.
Okay.
Nikolai Volkov's number 12, the other Russian.
Do
you have a Russian preference, Nikolai or Boris?
I like Nikolai.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he's got that, he sings the song, he's got that big goofy face.
He's probably,
he's probably funny. He's probably like a cool guy to
I can't get
with.
Comfortable. Have you noticed I'm moving a lot? I'm sorry. I hope I'm not distracting you.
No, not at all.
I don't know what it is. I'm standing, sitting, all over the place.
It's kind of like we're walking to the PC game.
Yeah, just talking as we're walking.
We've had some of our best conversations, like weaving through crowds.
That's true.
Even bobbing.
Did you... So yeah, you obviously knew what was going on. We were talking during the shooting and all that. It was fucking chaotic. So I'll tell you the one part of the story I didn't probably end up telling you. I carried Alex from my seat to the exit of the garage near, like, Uno.
Oh, yeah.
In, like, in the middle over there.
The city
like,
side.
Yeah. Outside. So I carried him from my seat all the way around the front of the dunk.
This when you were leaving?
Yeah. The front of the convention center. Up Francis Street, by, like, Fidelity, into the garage.
What is he, like, 30 pounds?
40. Now? That motherfucker is 40 pounds of dead weight. He doesn't help you when you're carrying him. I was dying.
Wow.
As we crossed Francis Street to the garage, I threw him to Andy. I'm like, can you fucking carry this kid for, like, 2 minutes for me? My arms are freaking burning so bad. And we were, like, hustling.
He wasn't even on your back?
It was too chaotic. Like, I couldn't risk, like...
Yeah,
him slipping or whatever. I just had to suck it up. It was fucking freezing too. It was an awful like 5 minute experience. Solid son of a bitch. All right, Jim Duggan comes.
Lucky
you
in. Got out of there.
It was it was looking bad for a while. It was a nice PC win though. Jim Duggan's 13.
Jim Duggan, here comes USA. Watch out, Canada. USA is coming to show you what it's like.
Were you excited by Jim Duggan?
Yeah. I thought he was going to take the 2x4 into the ring. That would be nice.
Yeah. If it was the Bunkhouse Stampede, he may have.
So he comes in, and he's screaming like an idiot. He's like, you know, yeah, USA, and just like going after Volkov the whole time. Like, I hate Russians.
Yeah.
I'm the man who's going to stop the Russians. And he just all he has to do to get a response from the crowd is point at somebody and go, oh.
Yeah, that's it. He did the thumb ho. People still do that at shows.
Ugh, I just don't like it.
You don't like the ho?
I just don't like the guy at all.
You should talk to Scott. He despises him.
Really?
Yeah. Somebody you should like him.
Is that the first time Scott and I have ever
Because it's got like
they're like the same thing. Oh man, does this mean I'm wrong?
You might have to rethink your strategy on this one.
All right, just send me Jim Duggan tapes. Maybe I can brainwash myself.
We're gonna see plenty of Duggan.
All right.
Ron Bass is 14. Any thoughts on the Outlaw?
Ron Bass, I don't remember him.
He's got the little twirly mustache, bald.
Nope.
Okay.
Oh yeah, he's the fat guy, right?
Yeah.
I think he ended up sitting in the middle of the ropes, like two guys were rocking his big fat legs.
No, not the big fat guy. That's one man gang.
No, not him.
Oh, okay.
The smaller guy. No shirt.
Yeah, Ron Bass.
So they were like rocking him and then threw him over.
Yeah, probably.
Heels over his head. I was like, oh, that's kind of a shameless way to go out.
All right, Brian Blair, the other killer bee, is next.
Faceless
to you as well.
Yep, he just disappeared in the mix. I don't actually remember seeing the bees do anything or get eliminated.
Looking at this, they didn't eliminate anybody. And Brunzel was tossed by Nikolai. Blair was tossed by the gang, so.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Yeah, because One Man Gang came in pretty late, and he was pretty cool. He knocked out, like, three guys in 2 minutes.
What do you think of Hillbilly Jim coming in next?
I thought he was a bad guy.
No.
And then he goes and starts, like, hammering away at some... Who was in there at the time?
Bass, maybe?
Oh, no, it was the gang.
Yeah.
He started, like, beating him up, and I'm like, what are you doing? I was like, oh, is he a good guy?
Yeah.
We like hillbillies now?
We did then.
Okay.
Vince has this weird fatuation with hillbilly characters. They're like, exist throughout the history of the company.
Well, it's an easy costume.
Yeah.
Just get some...
He's super into yokel hillbillies.
And he kind of knew his audience. I mean, there's a lot of...
Hillbillies.
Rural, red state type...
Yeah.
Wrestling fans out there.
With their shitty internet. Dino Bravo, 17. Are you surprised he could make it out here after that impressive feat of strength earlier?
Yeah, he looked kind of tired.
Yeah.
He's kind of hanging his arms a little bit. basically, he came in and it just provoked another argument between Vince and Jesse about whether or not he actually put up the weight. And I think it was when he came in, that's when I Googled all the weightlifting stuff. Yeah. And I was like, oh my God, he almost did it.
Excuse me. Ultimate Warrior is 18.
Ultimate Warrior.
Were you excited by the...
Why is this the first time I've seen Ultimate Warrior?
He just
said
debut.
Brand new?
Yeah. He was pretty much... He had showed up in, like, the summer of 87.
All right. That was the best part of the show.
Yeah?
I was like, Ultimate Warrior. Sweet. I love this guy. He looks awesome. Can't wait to see him.
Yeah. We'll see a lot of him. This is... He's very early in here, so, you know, he doesn't get, like we'll see later.
Yeah. As soon as I saw him and he was, like, toward the end, I'm like, oh, he's going to win. Great. Yeah. This is, like, the beginning of his greatness.
It's weird that he didn't win. You'd think he would have.
It's kind of weird. He had a very unceremonious exit.
Yeah. One Man Gang was 19, and then Duggan was... Junkyard Dog was 20.
Yeah, Junkyard Dog made a special guest appearance at the Royal Rumble.
Yeah,
I think he was eliminated in like 20 seconds.
208.
Like, oh, here comes a Joe. Here comes a. Oh, no, he's out.
Right out. So the Bret Hart was in there for 25:42. Dog was 208, and the gang had four eliminations. Had the most eliminations.
Yeah, and he was only in there for like 6-8 minutes or something.
Yeah, 2 minutes. Who? The gang?
The gang.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Any thoughts on that part of it, or the rest of it?
Well, the end came, and I was just like, really.
Duggan.
I was like, you're going to let Jim Duggan win.
Yeah.
Ugh, that's kind of annoying. It's kind of good that there was no
stakes
belt or anything.
Yeah.
Because, like, him carrying a belt, it's like, oh, a tongue out. This is what America's like. We're all stupid.
So if you had to, like, if you had watched this Rumble, would you not want to watch any of the Rumbles? If you didn't have me telling you to get way better?
No, I like the concept, so I'd be excited to see. And it's kind of cool because it's like the WWF Championship isn't necessarily yearly. It's like whoever wins it, wins it.
Right.
This is like a once-a-year thing, so now it's like I can be like, all right, who won the first one? Who won the second one?
Right, you can track it as we go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know I love lists.
I do know
I'm a big fan
lists.
Of lists and awards.
Right.
So.
Getting awards.
Giving awards.
Taking awards.
Talking about awards.
Taking awards home. All right. Anything else on the Rumble?
I feel like I thought of a lot of other stuff, but I think we covered most of it. I mean,
okay.
I didn't like that Duggan won. I think the format is flawed. It's not fair per se. What if they all start in the ring?
That's a battle royal.
Battle royal.
We'll see one of those soon, for you.
Is there a battle royal Rumble?
No. The Royal Rumble is like the evolutionary Battle Royal. So Battle Royals existed for years.
Oh.
The guys would just start in the ring, and throw each other out. The Royal Rumble is a twist on that to give advantages and tell more stories and whatnot. You may get 20 guys in the ring at once. You may get five. You may get two.
Okay, here's another idea. Instead of luck of the draw, we do like a FedEx Cup thing in golf. You get points during the year for your spot.
So, well, I think a lot of the excitement of the night and being there
is not knowing who's coming.
Not knowing who's coming.
Okay. But, all right, I'll give you that one.
But they do have matches like in later years, like on TV and stuff, to say this match is for number 30. You know what I mean? So, all right. Hulk Hogan gets interviewed. He pumps up the main event. Anything there?
I watched that the first time I watched, but I didn't see it the second time, so I kind of forgot what he said.
Yeah, I think he just hypes up the big match coming.
I'm going to beat Andre.
I mean, nobody
throws a table on me.
Right. A lot of this was just to really hype up. I think we had to look at it like that, too, was to hype up the main event in February. Because that's going to be on NBC in primetime. It's like a big deal. So I think a lot of this show was about that.
It was about hyping up the match. It was about testing the waters of the Royal Rumble format.
Yep.
And it was about Dino Bravo being strong.
And it was about sticking the dildo to Jim Crockett in the Bunkhouse Stampede.
Oh, man, when you said that, like, did I enjoy watching it? I enjoyed watching it. When I said it was interesting, it was just so kind of disjointed and like not unexpected, and then like a little disappointing, and then like kind of like, oh, that was fun.
Okay, you could tell it was something they were trying for the first time.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So now we get a match just to fill out some time, and that is the Islanders versus the Young Stallions.
Not a title match.
Not a title match. It's just there to eat up the rest of the show, basically, because they ran a little short. They had the time to fill. They have this like emergency match that they're out there. We don't even see the end of it, right? It just kind of ends in the middle of the match.
No, it was a double fall.
Well, it was best out of three.
Yeah, the Islanders won two in a row.
Oh, did they? Oh, yeah.
Okay, they got a count out.
Yeah. Okay. And I was thinking ended during it.
They like mess up this guy's leg and they counted him out.
That's right.
And then they jumped on his leg and they pinned him.
All right.
No, they submitted him.
What did you think of the match?
That might be... Is this the first two out of three where there was no pins? You should have your stat guys check that.
First ever? That could have been. Yeah,
there was one DQ. Submission. DQ and one submission. What are the odds of that?
I mean, I don't know.
In Vegas, it'd be, out of five. It'd be like 10 to 1.
Yeah.
You're not as impressed as me. Whatever.
I'm more impressed with your ability to throw the odds on it that fast. I'm not good at that. So what did you think of the match itself? Any impressions?
No, it was kind of just the same thing. It was like pretty one-sided. Jesse, you just like, I thought maybe they were like hyping up the Islanders as a possible title shot team.
Mm.
Because,
well, they had just had that great feud with Strikeforce. I think we watched one of their matches.
Yeah.
You like them though? They're pretty good. They're good assholes.
Tonga is good. The other guy, I feel like he's just the second guy.
Tama?
Is that his name?
Yeah. Haku and Tama.
Is that like a thing? Like, is one of them better? How'd they finish on the list?
They haven't showed up yet. Tama showed up lower. But I think in a vacuum, Tama was better. He just doesn't have as much of a career because he had drug issues and kind of flamed out not too long after this. Haku ends up sticking around for a while.
I thought it was cool that he called him Sucker. Was it Tama?
Tama called him Sucker.
He called the guy Sucker. He's like, you like that, Sucker? And then Vince was like, oh, that's a nice thing to say to an opponent.
Sucker.
And I'm like, isn't this pay-per-view?
No, it wasn't.
It wasn't pay-per-view. Oh, so he probably
got USA.
Mad. He probably got mad. No, he didn't because he said Sucker again.
Right. I think Sucker's okay. I don't think that was on the banned list.
Yeah, Sucker's fine. It's like grade school stuff.
Yeah. Any thoughts on the Stallions?
No, they're kind of boring.
Yeah.
You're boring.
All right, can I get your list?
All right, my three most hated wrestlers so far.
All right.
Number three is Duggan.
Yeah.
He's kind of like, for me, because I have just natural irrational hatred for people, mm-hmm. so I'll do liking them.
But you're rethinking that now because of Scott.
If Scott is right, I don't want to be right.
Right. Yeah.
But in terms of the actor world, he's like my Tom Hanks. Like, everyone loves Tom Hanks, and I just don't get it. It's like, enough Tom Hanks already. I just don't like his face.
Yeah. So you're not into the Pumpkins gimmick?
The Pumpkins?
The Tom Hanks Pumpkins thing you did, Saturday Night Live?
I didn't see it.
Oh.
Probably because Tom Hanks was hosting. I didn't want to watch.
I thought everyone had pretty much seen this thing.
Number two is Danny Davis. I mean, I don't really need to say why. and he's kind of like my version of Matt Damon, which I think everyone is on board with hating Matt Damon now. Yeah. I don't know anybody who's still like, no, I really like Matt Damon. But he still gets jobs. Right. And it's like, all right, we just kill him off already.
I like how you've laid out these comparisons. It's
yeah, this is how my brain works.
Yeah.
Number one is obviously still Tully Blanchard.
Right.
So Ted DiBiase, as much as I hate him, he still doesn't... It's just like, I don't like your thing, okay? Right. At least wrestle in a match or something. But yeah, Tully Blanchard, he's like Andy McDowell.
Yeah. Just pure hatred.
Just like, why? Like, I don't want to look at his face. Just, I don't get it.
So if Tully Blanchard was in Groundhog Day, would it have made it better or worse?
He would have made a good heel.
Yeah.
Like a foil to the Bill Murray character.
Right.
That movie would literally be a 10 out of 10 if it wasn't for her. She brings us from a 10 to a 7.
You think she's worth 3?
She's worth 3 whole points.
Oof. That's tough. So we got the main event next. Are you excited for that?
The main event with the Hogan match.
Yeah. And then we have WrestleMania 4, which now you've seen parts of because that's when we started.
Oh, this is the tournament.
Yeah. And we're going to watch it again.
I can't believe they did the tournament after WrestleMania 3. WrestleMania 3 was so good.
Yeah.
Why don't we just keep the same?
And they're trying to mix it up, trying new things.
But to have a guy come out and wrestle 4 times is just sick.
Well, we're going to watch it again. You up for it?
Yeah.
I think it'd be cool with different eyes now. You know a little bit more. You've seen the build up.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay. That's our next two stuff.
Whatever happened to watching the Slammies?
So, I wanted you to watch the 1987 Slammies because you love awards. So, what I think we'll do is, this is my thought process, the main event is pretty short. It's only 2 matches because it was just an hour in prime time. I want you to watch the Slammies too. And we're not going to do a full review of the Slammies. I just want your thoughts.
Okay.
And then we'll talk about the main event.
Like a brief opening word on the Slammies.
Yeah. Because okay. You love award shows. But because we were so long in between episodes, I didn't want it to just be the Slammies that we talked about this time.
Gotcha.
And because it's Royal Rumble season, I thought this would be fitting. All right, any final thoughts before we wrap up?
Oh, so the current Royal Rumble's coming up.
Next week. So this is very timely.
This is going to be tough. Like how I'm watching all this stuff in order. So once I like start to get wind of stuff happening now, I can't watch current stuff?
You can watch current stuff.
I can watch current stuff.
You know, the stuff, like if you watch 2018, there's going to be very little stuff that's going to be spoiled for you from like where we're at.
Okay.
You should watch it live. I'll be there in Philadelphia. I'm going to the show.
Such a fancy guy.
You should watch it live on the WD Network with my login.
I will.
It's next Sunday at 8 o'clock.
That really...
There's nothing next Sunday. Oh, do you watch the Grammys? The Grammys are on.
I'll probably watch. The Grammys are the worst of all the shows because there's so many of them, and right. It's basically just a musical show.
Yeah.
They just have a lot of acts.
I mean, the good thing with the Royal Rumble is it'll be archived like immediately, so you can watch it later or the next day.
I really appreciate... the network login. The only thing about the app is I can't fast forward like on a web browser.
Right.
So I have to guess.
Yeah, where
2018
is.
Problems.
Right.
So like I'll be like, I want to see that again, but then I'll go past it.
Yeah. It's a pain.
It's so hard.
But I'm glad you seem to be using it. I used to have to tell you where to go for things, but now you seem to kind of navigate yourself.
Yeah, I get the...
And you should... I mean, if you're really... You know, if you want to learn more and you're bored for some extra credit... Hit up some non-WWE stuff that's on there. There's other shit in there you can explore. There's a lot of you like documentaries. There's a lot of documentaries in there that they've done and stuff that are pretty good.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Maybe I'll try to find a documentary based on the stuff I've seen already.
Mm. Well, they have like these WrestleMania Rewind documentaries in there that I think you'd like a lot. We'll look at them. All right, do you want to still continue your trek?
Yes, sir.
Very good. All right, that brings it into episode 11. We'll be back at some point soon, maybe. We'll talk main event. We'll talk Slammies. Until then, see you in 2019.
Roadhouse.
You see me with it, DVDs in it, BB Kid, it acts who it is. You see, Lieutenant, I did drive by. Now I take you on top of a high rise. See if you can skydive. I'll bring it to you at your local gymnasium. How about the Palladium? Fuck it, get you safe. Play people, jumped up and sprayed people. I got doodles that'll jig you with the A's needle. You're not a threat. You want it? You got a bet. I leave your mama and your papa wet, nigga, when I'm upset. I go another route. Kidnap your family, make your brother eat your mother out. After I done dug her out. Needles to drug her out. Pillow to smother out. You don't give a fuck about. I'm with a thug about. I grew with it. Your crew ain't even true with it. I seen your man, he like, nothing to do with it. I know you pack like that, but Cam, why you act like that? Shut up, nigga. Clack a clack. Pat, pat, pat. Rat, tat, tat. No fear for envy, nigga. I'm not a fear of any. I leave a nigga black and blue like a pair of pennies. Why me and Beth die? Throw fiesta. Bala maqueta. Chiqueta. Monero. Fiesta. Don't ever fuck around with the Don Cheta. See Jimmy Jones frontin' in the chancleta. Or the black boots jumping out the act cool. Cars never lease them. Girls, lease them. My man Matt's wife, he want me down with the threesome. Niggas, tease them. Bitches, please them. When I'm out of town, yo, my pants gotta crease them. All Carter Valley, never hard malice. Dallas, ran up in your favorite star stylist. Coward, right on my hoes like Marv Albert. But you should thank Unknown. Could've made you run, no. Been at your front door, gun ho, fun, no.
Yo,
what's up?
What the fuck is wrong with you,
man,
yo?
Man, fuck that. That's not a game,
yo,
man.
Yo, you ain't gotta
it's
be not... rhyming for niggas like
man,
that.
Fuck them niggas,
you know
man.
Yo, you know what you do? What? Tell these niggas the real deal, all right?
All right, check it. Hey, yo, I'm quicker than that. Cook up the crack. Every time you look up a cat, got you shook up a tat, huh? Looking in the back? Nah. The guns I had put in the back. I want to hook up and chat on this hook of the rap. Now I'm not saying what I like or what I dislike, but get the fuck out my face till your shit's right. See, baby boy, I carry guns, you know the big type, the kind that might get you a 10-year bid life. And I was just like y'all flipping 100 packs, but nowadays, I'm the owner, you a running back. You got to understand, baby, I'm done with the cracks. I get pure white coke from Colombian packs. Bump the cocaine plant, leave your whole brain dead. Like this herb, don't mean to disturb. Never been to Sesame Street, but I flip a big bird. And I know Steelers, and they're not from Pittsburgh. No kids rapping, I ostriches. Just kidnappings and hostages. So y'all better obey, we shoot the pro way. Mess with us? No way. Now go ahead, go play.